Now we're studying preface to the Book of Zohar, item 23.
So?
Okay. No one gets up, no one goes anywhere. I'm waiting. We're continuing the previous to the Book of Zohar, item 23. We talked about having limitations, and after the limitations, we come to His One and His Name One. But we attain it through rising slowly in the degrees of the worlds, by which we discern our attainments in colors or other discernments. Item 23. To understand that, you must remember what is written above in item 17, where it says that a necessary essence is object is the essence. It's the innermost thing in which we have no perception, even in our corporal essence, even in our own essence. We don't know who we are. We cannot attain ourselves who we are. That is hidden from us completely. We only have that discernment that it exists, and not more than that. Much less in the necessary one, in the Creator. I would say that both are the same, to the extent that we cannot attain ourselves, we also cannot attain the Creator. To the extent that we attain the Creator, we can also attain ourselves, because one is connected to the other. The world of Atzilut is a form, and the three worlds Bia are the matter, and the luminescence of Atzilut in Bia is the form clothed in matter. So from this we see that in the world of Atzilut we are forbidden to engage, because it's abstract form of matter, abstract from matter, and we are only permitted to engage in Olamot Bia, the worlds of Bia themselves, their Kelim. And in the Orot of Atzilut that clothes Olamot Bia, which is a form clothed in matter. From this you can understand that the name Ein Sof that we mention is not a name for the essence of He who must be. Yes? Ein Sof, infinity, is not the Creator or the essence. Because everything that we do not attain, how do we define by a name or a word? Since the imagination and the five senses do not offer anything in the sense of essence, we do not attain that in our five senses, the essence, and we also don't attain the abstract form. We perceive first the form in the matter, and then through our imagination, we can only theoretically discern between the form and the matter and say, this can also exist separately. But with our perception, in our perception, one does not exist without the other. The form that is not clothed in the matter, it's like Kli and O, Kli and light. They don't exist as two separate things, because we only attain the Kelim themselves from within the Kelim, or the light that clothes the Kelim. But the abstract light, with all its attributes outside the Kelim, is never attained by us. This is why the imagination of our five senses can never bring us to perceive the abstract form, much less the essence. Even in corporeality, how can there be a word or a thought in him? It actually doesn't matter if it's corporeality or spirituality, because if we're talking about things that are perceived or not perceived by our senses, then the same law applies to spirituality and corporeality. Either I'm in spirituality and have spiritual kelim, where the difference between them and the corporal kelim is the intention to bestow, and then I still perceive in them, but with a different intention. The intention is an addition, my addition, my attitude to the use of my kelim. That's the intention. And that's why the kelim do not change, and the light in the kli doesn't change as well. I would say this: the light and kli are always together in one another in complete rest, and I am in Ein Sof. But because there is a Tzimtzum, and according to my intention, I remove the restriction, the Tzimtzum, and find the light that fulfills the Kli. Why am I showing it to you in this way? To emphasize that we never find the Orot outside the Kalim, the lights outside the Kalim, because we find in Sof where there are lights already clothed in the Kalim to begin with. And only that permanent state, that's what we find. And when we talk about the entrance of the lights into the Kalim, the exit of the light from the Kalim, we only talk about how we come to attain it, of that permanent state. How I come close to it, how I attain it. That state exists always in complete rest. And I, in my kli, slowly prepare my kli to perceive. Hence, these changes occur in me, in my perception, where the light comes and clothes me, and then I feel the difference in it as it gradually permeates me. But in fact, it doesn't go, it doesn't come. That's how it appears in me, because I awaken to feel it, to feel what is already there, all the lights in all the kelim. Hence, the abstract form is non-existent. It never did exist in reality, because the light that created the kli, it immediately fulfilled the kli according to right when it created it. So there was never a difference between the creation of the kli and the fulfillment of the light in it. When we talk about the light coming out or stemming from the creator, what does it mean that it stems from the creator? There's a kli that is being filled. That means that the light extends from the creator. Because in spirituality there's no before. Yes, first there was a kli and then it was filled with light. It's just our words, our language, because it's connected to time, so that's why we say it like that. But in spirituality, which is above time, these things are together. Where beginning and end are at the same point. They are not separated by time. Hence, there is never an abstract form, but the light, the form is immediately clothed in the kli. Only with respect to our perception, to our imagination, do we discern one from the other. Where the light that is inside the kli must be outside the kli. But outside the kli means outside my perception. So we can say this: I have a kli in which I perceive reality, and there's a kli in which I perceive a little bit of reality, and there's a kli in which I perceive nothing. When in my tikkun of the kelim, I enhance my little kli into a greater one, then I say that the light comes and fills it, and before it didn't fill the kli. It's only with respect to me. Reality appears to me this way. It's like a sick person who's unconscious, and when he awakens from the unconsciousness, he begins to feel more and more. Reality exists. Everyone's around him, looking at him, and he slowly opens his eyes and begins to recognize where he is. So he says, reality came to me. Reality filled my vessels of sensation. So it is all with respect to the receiver. So that's what Baal HaSulam says, that we have to understand the name Ein Sof as defined in the third definition, that everything the Book of Zohar speaks of is concentrated precisely with respect to the souls, the receivers that find Ein Sof, that exists permanently, eternally. Thus, the name Ein Sof is not at all something that exists in and of itself. It's not that there is something outside the creatures, but with respect to all the worlds and all the souls being contained in it, in Ein Sof, in the form of the thought of creation, in the form of the act ends in the preliminary thought, where there is the final form to begin with. The end of the act, yes, the end of the act is in the preliminary thought. It already exists in the first thought. And this is the connection, yes, the end and the beginning together. This is the connection in which the whole creation, until Gmar Tikkun, until the end of correction, is connected in the name Ein Sof. That's where all the creatures are, and all their kelim, and all their fulfillments. Without any difference and sensation and separation and change to begin with. And what the creatures gradually find is their own true state. Hence our world, our situation is called a fictitious world, an imaginary state. We imagine we exist in all kinds of ways. Like a sick person who slowly awakens in his consciousness and begins to see a reality. So before he was also in it, but unconscious. And now he slowly comes in gradual consciousness to complete consciousness. And this is what we call the first state of the souls. Meaning, we say that the souls go from the first situation to the second situation. And from the second, they return to the third. But the third situation is like the first. And this is what we call the first state of the souls. Since all the souls have an existence in Him, when they are filled with all the pleasure and softness in the final height that they will acquire at the end of Gmar Tikkun, at the end of the correction. So here in the beginning of creation there is everything but the souls and the neshamot, because here there is the birth of the souls, that's the birth of the souls, and here we have the tikkun, the correction of the souls. So the souls come to the third state and attain the third state, in which they attain what is already in the first situation, but not out of their own attainment. In the first situation, they were in potential. In the second situation, they were unconscious. And when they come to the tikkun, to the correction, it means they ascend in their consciousness to the state where they really are. So, can we say that the thought of creation is the third situation? in Prinat Shorosh, what comes out is Prinat Aleph. The thought of creation to delight his creatures is the final state where the creatures must be in their sensation. Because without the sensation, it is not the thought of creation. The thought of creation, had it not been fulfilled immediately in the third state, in its final state, in its first state, it would not have existed as the thought of creation. Because in the Creator there cannot be a thought, and afterwards some operations, and in the end some end of the act appears, and then it exists. It's not wholeness. Wholeness means that there is no difference between the desired and the existing. Whatever is decided in that decision, not it doesn't appear as a result, but the decision and the act and the final form are interconnected in such a way that there is no difference between them. And therefore, you cannot say what came first, the egg or the chicken. Was there first a thought of the creatures to delight them? Or maybe there was a thought to delight the creatures, and then the creatures came and they were filled with pleasures. This question is not a question. It's an unquestionable question. Because there is no concept of time or cause and consequence and cause and effect in the Creator. So, when we talk about the thought of creation to delight his creatures, it is the beginning, the middle, and the end in the same thought, without discriminating one from the other. It's only with respect to us that this thought is divided into several apparent layers. Why is there no concept of time in the Creator and there is a concept of time in the creatures? Because we're not corrected. In corrupted vessels, there is a corrupted state, a preparation for the correction, and a correction, and then the fulfillment and difficult adhesion. So this order, sequence of operations, creates in us the sensation of time. I have a shimot that come out of my spiritual gene and are scrutinized, and I want something, I think about something, and the next minute a new Rishimo comes. I want something else, I think about something else, and the difference between what I wanted and thought in my previous state and what I want and think in my next state, in my current state, the difference between these thoughts and desires creates in me this concept, the sensation of time. If the thoughts and desires are not that different, I say time doesn't change. It's a dead time. But if I run around and emotions are constantly brought up in me and new thoughts and new desires, then time flies, you know. I feel that I'm speeding up. And that's the concept of time in our world. But in fact, the minute we discover all the Rishimot, correct them and fill them with light, at which time there is no change between one state and the next, we are in wholeness and in an eternal state, in time and in place, and in unity, in fulfillment. Then the concept of time disappears. The concept of time disappears in spirituality even when the person comes to the first degree in the spiritual sensation. Then already the concept of time disappears in terms of corporeality, yes, in terms of corporal time. That concept of time disappears when one begins to relate himself to a different time, to the flow of the spiritual process, because the spiritual process is on a higher level than the corporal process. So it suppresses the corporal process, and one identifies with the spiritual process, and then one feels spiritual time instead of corporal time. The spiritual time means number of changes and operations in one's connection to the Creator. How much I am in contact with Him in sending impulses, I toward Him and Him toward me. That is my concept of time. This frequency that gives me that sensation. And not the years I exist in this world, that the days. Item 24. Let me give you a parable from the conducts of this world. For example, one who wants to build a handsome house. In the first thought, he sees before him a handsome house in all its rooms and details, as it will be in the end of its building construction. So in the beginning, one contemplates the end. After that, one calculates the plan to execute the program in its every detail. And he will tell them to his workers, every item in its time and in its time. He says, first I have to dig a hole, then I have to put in the foundations, and then I have to put in the poles, and then start the floor, and the walls, and the windows, and all that. So he knows the phases by which a house is built. So he plans it and makes a list of materials and a list of tools that he needs and the experts he needs. He puts everything into the plan. And the stones and the rocks and the iron and metal and all that. And after that, he begins to build the house completely until it's finished, as it was set before him in his first thought. That's what he does, de facto. No. That the discernment of Ein Sof, yes, is the first thought that was in which the entire creation in its final completeness was already pictured before him. So Ein Sof, no end, is the Creator's. Well, the Creator decided that everything exists, and He makes the creatures at the end of their correction in the state of complete benevolence. But the lesson is not exactly like the parable, because in the Creator, the present and the future are equal, and the thought completes the act, and He doesn't need a tool for action like we do. But the thought acts like the act, operates like the act. Hence, there is no. He is an actual reality. The minute he thinks about it, that minute he ends it. And with respect to the Creator, there is no change. Meaning, in Him we exist in our final form, and what appears toward us gradually doesn't influence Him and doesn't matter to Him. With respect to Him, it is a complete situation with respect to us. In His, from His perspective. So when we pray, when we turn to Him, we turn to the state of Ein Sof. That's where we turn, that's where we pray to Ein Sof. That's what we call Creator. That reality that He had already designed for us and placed us in it. And from there, we have to receive, from that final state, we have to receive the powers and the discernments and the desires, and that's where we have to aspire to that essence that is beyond Ein Sof. We can't turn there, because that state is defined and made and exists. And the discernment of Olam Atzilut, world of Atzilut, is like that thought, that plan that he had considered. Thoughts of in all its details. So we have a thought that's Ein Sof. Afterwards, we have Olam Atzilut, which is the plan, detailed plan. What will afterwards have to be disclosed when the house is actually built, and see that these two, which are the first thought, which is in Sof, and the program, conceptual program of the details of the execution, and there is still no trace of creatures. All these things in Sof and Atzilut are ahead of us. Oh, sorry, before us. Before it is executed. Because it is still in potential, not de facto. As with a person who builds a house, even though he thinks of all the details, the wood and the rocks and the metals that he will have to work with during the execution, it is still in the design on the paper and in the thought in the mind. There are no actual stones and rocks and wood. It's all either conceptual substance or the substance of the program, a plan, the design. So there's only the conceptual essence, but there's no wood or rock in it in any way. The only difference is that with a person in our world, the conceptual program is not considered actual reality, but in the godly thought, it is an actual reality far more than the reality of the actual creatures. So the thought that completes everything, and the plan of the creation in the Creator, these things complete everything. You don't need after Olam Atzilut, after Parsa, when the creatures begin here from the Parsa downward. This is the creatures, right? So in that place, the Creator doesn't wait for us. For Him, the thought and the act are, they cover reality. So we learned about Ein Sof and the world of Atzilut, that all that talks about them is only with respect to the creation of the creatures. But while they are still in potential, and they have not appeared even a bit, as we have talked about the person who contemplates the blueprint and the execution, in which there are no there's no wood and stones and iron. 25. And the three worlds, Bia, and this world, this is Bria Tsirasya, and then Aulam Azeh, this world, they are the result, they are the execution from potential to de facto, because one, such as the person who actually builds his house and brings the workers and the wood and the rocks until the house is completed. Hence, godliness shines in Bia, meaning to the extent that the souls should receive in order to come to their completeness. Meaning, in which form do we have the luminescence here from Atzilut? To the extent that we want to build the house, it clothes the 10 kelim kachab chagat nehim, which are actual kelim with respect to his godliness, meaning they are not godliness. That's the kli. Meaning they are not godliness, but they are renewed for the purpose of for the souls. So what is the difference between this kli being? Oh, the difference is that this kli is the intention. That's what I raise toward the upper light. Not the desire itself. These desires exist in Ein Sof. These desires exist in the second situation. What I need to raise toward the Creator is the intention. They are my kli. You can say this. I have desires, 613 desires, and these desires are not a kli to receive the upper light. There is a tzimtzum on that restriction, the first restriction, tzimtzum aleph. But I must place another kli called the craving for the Creator, to give Him, to please Him, to delight Him, and this is called the intention. That's my kli, my intention, the returning light, the ochzer, not the desires. That is why we have nothing. There's nothing to work with our desire. There is no work on our desires. But the whole work and exertion is only on the intentions. Item 26. You will learn from this proverb and find how the three discernments of the thinker, to build the one who thinks to build a house, are interconnected by way of cause and consequence, the root of all of which is the first thought. Because no detail in the blueprint, conceptual blueprint, comes but according to the end of the act that came before him in the first thought. Also, he will not execute anything of the build during the building, but only according to the details set before him in the conceptual blueprint. So what does he say? Guys, we had a beginning. We have an end. Do not think that what happens on the way between the beginning and the end, whatever actions come which are not defined, nothing happens that is not preordained, predefined. It's not like there's an end and a beginning only, but every situation is also predefined. Just like when I want to build a house, I know that I have to first put up a post here and another post here and then a window and then some wall, etc. All these situations are predefined. Why and where from? Because they all stem from this kli that must be corrected in a gradual form. In this kli there are all kinds of desires on all kinds of degrees of a view in them. And just like in the goof, they are all interconnected. And it is impossible that you correct something without it affecting the entire body. And if you correct something, then something else must be corrected too. And then another thing. So all these things are necessary, and they necessarily happen. So there's not a single act in one's life, the slightest, that is not predetermined by the structure of the will to receive itself that was built in advance. It's here already, the will to receive. Hence, the whole way of our correction is, of course, defined and divided in complete in a complete order, preordained. That's how they appear to us. And I'm always in an absolute state of raising in me the Rishimo. I raise the situation and I'm in it. I just have to implement it. Nothing more. I do not choose my situations. I have no free choice in that, as we learned. But I can only realize through my environment the situation effectively and more efficiently. That's all. And then I move on to the next state. I implement that more or less, these things too are defined, and with respect to the Creator, there's nothing new there. There's no novelty there. But it is hidden from me so as to give me the choice of adding more exertion. But afterwards, when it does not affect my effort, it appears in me that these things are predetermined too. How to the point to which I will succeed or err. And this does not affect me. It's called being absorbed in the Creator, in His complete whole benevolence. And then in providence. And then in me too, the beginning and the end and the middle are all equalized into one. If in my tikkun I rise to such a state that he does not affect me. So what is the beginning and what is the end and what is the middle? So I'm outside my own interest in what happens in my kilim and in what the results from them will be. Therefore, those who correct the kilim rise above the situations and the times, and all the situations that they go through are felt as necessary situations that come by an order of cause and effect one by one, and it's clear to them, and it's also clear to them in every single situation. If they succeed or do not succeed, it doesn't matter. They give maximum effort, and in that they succeed. Because they have made such a correction that the result doesn't matter for them. Our whole tikkun, our whole correction, is to be detached from the results. Is to detach the self-interest from the results. In that, we annul all the concepts of time, space, and motion. From this you learn in the world that there is not a single novelty in the world that does not extend from itself, meaning from the first situation of the souls in which they exist in their complete wholeness of the Gmar Tikkun in the form of the end of the actus in the preliminary thoughts. And you find that everything that will appear there until Gmar Tikkun is already contained there. In the beginning it extends from Ein Sof to the world of Atzilut, as in the parable about the conceptual blueprint that extends from the first thought. And from the world of Atzilut, each and every item extends to the world of Bia, like the parable that were from the conceptual blueprint, all the details extend when they are actually executed to build the house. Thus there is not a single item in this world. There's nothing new under the sun that does not extend from the Ein Sof in the state of the first state of the souls. From Ein Sof it extends to the world of Atzilut, meaning to the specific attitude that belongs to that renewed thing in this world de facto. From the world of Atzilut, the renewal extends to the three worlds Bia, where it actually appears toward the souls and comes out of and stops being godliness and becomes a creature there. What does it mean, a creature? It is something that feels itself detached from the Creator, that is seemingly in its own authority, with respect to whom the house is yet incomplete, who feels that he can somehow add to build the house. And if one wants to find the blueprint in order to complement it, to finish it, until the house is built, the construction is built, is completed, this is called bringing oneself back to Ein Sof. So it follows that So it stops being godliness and becomes a creature and comes out to Yetzirah and Asiya until it extends to the lower one in this world. And then you will see that there is no novelty appearing in the world that does not extend from its general root in Ensof and its particular root in Atzilut, and then traveling through Bia, receiving the attribute, the form of the creature, and then appears in this world. So only gradually, from below upwards, when one seeks advice and powers to understand the blueprint of the Creator and realize it, thus one comes to know the blueprint and is incorporated in that made house, but by seemingly adding each block, each screw and each wood, etc. But one adds by wanting to be integrated, incorporated in it. It's not that one builds it, actually builds it, because the kelim, the tools for construction, are one's desires. All the metal and the wood and the rocks are all our desires. We just have to want to place every desire in its right place, just like in the blueprint of the Creator. So by building from my desires that house, by that one attains the thought of the Creator, and that's the prophet. You can't come to it differently. Because if a person, but only through a person who is in this world, bit by bit, it's called from your acts we know you, one learns what the Creator did and wants to do the same things. That's how one attains the Rosh, the mind, the thought of the Creator, and then rises above the level of the creature, because he was born of that thought of creation. And now he seemingly doesn't go back to the state that he was born in, but he raises himself above the place he was born to, the actual degree of the Creator, because the thought of the Creator precedes our creation. And by that, one seemingly rises above his point of birth. In that, one is in dvikut, in adhesion with the Creator, in the same wash, same mind. What did you want to ask? The more one advances, the more the blueprint becomes clear, the clearer it becomes, or is it more concealed? Does the blueprint becomes clearer or not? What appears is the blueprint that was before more concealed. He goes into subtler details. Actually, the whole blueprint appears in the first contact. Because every spiritual degree has complete Esel Sfirot and Or Naran Chai, Light of Naran Chai, but on the measure of Nefesh de Nefesh. Meaning, it's as if one sees a building from afar. Afterwards, when he comes closer and see the details, see how it's built, what materials it's made of, and then see how it's built, and then see what it is built for, and then who built it, and the thoughts in which it was built. But all these things appear in the first picture. You can call it non-chai, the substance, the building itself. The order of the building and who built it. That's Oyechida, so to speak. these things too become clear in the first contact. But afterwards one goes deeper and deeper in until he comes to the entire building being made because he built it. Yes, one, the person, he agrees with his construction with the intention to bestow. That building, Olam En Sof, is what the Creator gives the creature. With love, yes, the benevolent. And one has to bring it back as benevolent, back to the Creator. So as the Creator builds the house for him, he builds the same house for the Creator. And then they both equalize. And he rises to his thoughts. How is the measurement of the exertion? How is the additional exertion is measured? It's not in acts of construction. It's the consent. It's in the agreement, in the intention. What's the addition? It's an addition because it never existed. It's not an addition and the same thing since the Creator did, and I add to what he did. I add to something that he never did. I add my consent, my desire, my intention to bestow. That's why it's called addition. It's not addition for existing things. The same things, but a little more. But it's something new. Yes. Can we say that the consent of the creature is an expression of the intention of the Creator de facto? What was the item we started on? Oh, we ended on 26. We did 25, 26 preface, right? To the Zohar, to the book of Zohar. Okay, now what do I want to say?